Yo, what's going on? AFC North Talk today, coming from some weird place here in Europe. Here with my guys, Ace, Tony, Quincy. By the way, look at this. I should be good. I should not be pixelating.
4K. 4K, Sonny.
I don't know about 4K, but I upgraded from 480p to 720, which is a big thing right now. It's a big thing.
Look, they came on my monitor.
Shout out to all of you guys. Remember, before I start, super chats are available. If you want us to make sure we answer that question, go ahead, use that super chat. Thank you for all the support that you guys have been giving us. The videos have been doing great on YouTube, the views, the likes. I appreciate the comments, all of that. And don't forget also, we have the Flick app. So you can go there during the game. We all talk. So if you want to trash talk, come in and join Flick. Anyway, what a week. What a week. And I would like to skip this week, but hey, we're here. And different from you guys. Last time when we lost to, who was it, the Chiefs or whoever it was?
Nah, it was another team. Listen, one more.
It was the Steelers?
Yeah, it was Steelers. Okay.
It was a schedule miss for me, but nah, I'm here. But anyway, let's go start with one of the games that I thought it was a good game. And a lot of really good, smart performance in this game. I'm talking about the Browns. I'm going to start here with Q because I want to know, other than there's a conspiracy out there said that Nick Chubb was point shaving.
Yeah, he was 100%. Should be suspended, thrown out of the league immediately.
But I want to know, what was your thought about this game?
Well, first off, I want to make sure everybody knows that I'm coming from the winner's side of this screen right now. The right side of your screen
is
the
winner's side. My
goodness. Yeah, you know, I would hate to be over there or over there. I don't know what that's like. This week.
I literally don't know what it's like.
All right, now
don't
make it hard to be on your side. So if we want to jump right to the Nick Chubb running out of bounds play.
Whatever you want, man.
What happened on that one?
Well, in the huddle,
point shaving.
In the huddle, Baker said, "Don't score." And apparently he had the peace of mind to think we're on the 30-yard line. Nick Chubb could score from here, from our own 30. And he pretty much did. And Nick Chubb, being the great teammate that he is, decided, you know what? He's been on the Browns long enough to know that a 99% of chance of winning can also be a 1% chance of losing. So he said, you know, I'm going to do the right thing, step out of bounds and let Baker take this knee.
Think about the Falcons. Isn't that what the Falcons, they try?
I think that's what was on his mind, right? Todd Gurley instinctively scored that touchdown and it cost him the game there. I think Nick Chubb, being from Georgia, probably watched that game and was like, oh, I don't want that to happen. So he probably last minute thought of that. Either way, he could have scored. It doesn't matter. The Browns should just pay him all the money because Nick Chubb, it's the difference in the game. I mean, like, the running game is completely, like, it's good without Nick Chubb. It's one of the best in the last few years when he's out there with Kareem Hunt, and it's because both of them are very hard to tackle, and both of them, once you get into the fourth quarter, are almost impossible to tackle. So it's just a hell of a thing that the Browns have at their disposal. Also, getting Wyatt Teller back is good. And if we look at the long-term picture of the AFC North here, right, you got the Cleveland Browns, who are getting healthier, whose schedule is lightening up. At the end of this stretch, at the end part of this season, they're getting guys back, and you got the Baltimore Ravens. They got guys dropping like flies. They're going to play a tougher part of this schedule. The Browns are in a good position if they just do what they got to do. Also, one quick fun note. Do you know the Browns and the Steelers, only two teams in AFC North, have not dropped the game to a sub-500 team? So these are things that the Browns have. Look, their only losses come to teams that are 6-3 or better. I think they're in a good position here to take advantage of it. Let's see what they can do in Tennessee. I really want to see what they can do on Monday Night Football against Baltimore. You know, we'll see what that Week 17 game is for Pittsburgh. I doubt they'll really have to play unless Kansas City doesn't drop any games. And the Pittsburgh drops a couple of games going forward, but I don't think that's very likely. Quite honestly, I think the Steelers are going to wrap up that bye week before they even get into that game, so they're probably going to be resting. We'll see. we'll see what the Browns' future entails, but it's all bright. I liked what I saw out of Baker Mayfield in this game, despite the 40-mile per hour winds. I felt like he played well. I felt like he made some plays in key areas. I feel like he's being a lot more comfortable in the pocket. I just feel more comfortable with Baker Mayfield being the starting quarterback of the future for the Cleveland Browns. I'm not really at peril with that decision. I think that's kind of, I'm discomfortable with it after the last few games. Nick Chubb, obviously, we talked about him. Kareem Hunt, they're just, that running game when they're both together is something that's really hard to stop. The defense played better. Larry Ogunjobi, who I've been incredibly tough on all year, he came back after this bye week. Seems like he's healthier. Seems like he was playing better, was able to win some of those one-on-one matchups. Miles Garrett, I know this is going to get some flack from people who are wearing TJ Watt jerseys. He's the defensive player of the year. There's no doubt about it in my mind, because if you look at the closest competitor, who is TJ Watt, You can say the argument is, well, TJ Watt has help, tremendous amounts of help. Miles Garrett has no help, absolutely no help. Olivier Vernon still not doing nothing. Sheldon Richardson is doing all right. Larry Ogunjobi has played like three games that he's done anything in. And then name me one of the Browns linebackers or corners that aren't Denzel Ward that you would want to have on your team. So Miles Garrett, he's carrying the defense. Like, this defense is Miles Garrett. If you, there is no team that is reliant on one player on one side of the ball than the Cleveland Browns are. And you can't tell me with a straight face, if you swap out Miles Garrett and put him in the Steelers defense, that you don't think that defense would be better? That's a little wild to me. So, yeah, Miles Garrett, he's wrapping up this defensive player of the year conversation as we speak. If he can build on what he's doing already, that'll just make his case even stronger. And it's weird for the Browns to have such a terrible defense, but a defensive player of the year candidate. But they played well this week. I feel like Ronnie Harrison, the guy we traded for Jacksonville, is also coming into his own as of late, being a very good safety. And what I see is the Browns condensing that part of the field, condensing that amount of responsibility that Andrew Sadeo has so he can be exploited less. And the more you do that, the better your defense will be, because he cannot cover space. He can do well in the run stopping stuff. He can do well in all these other areas. You just can't ask him to cover space. And now the Browns are figuring it out, having him cover much less space. Now, we'll see what happens when it's weather conditions where people can actually throw the ball in, if that holds up. But for right now, they're asking him to cover less space. He's covering less space, and he's doing much, much better. The defense is doing much, much better. They got a tough game next week against Philly, obviously. Then they play Tennessee. They play Baltimore. You know, all of these things are coming up. The Browns, they're in a must-win scenario every week almost. You know, I'm not even confident if they won out, if 13-3 is going to guarantee their spot in the playoffs, because how good the rest of the AFC has been. It's like the Western Conference in basketball nowadays. So, yeah, I think the Browns got a decent win here. I'm not going to go over the gills excited about it, because it was a sloppy game, but it was sloppy conditions out there. And they did what they had to do. Running games back, that makes me feel a ton better. But also, I will note, coming into this game, we did say that the Houston Texans had a huge hole when it comes to zone running. That held up. That number was, what, 600 yards or something, 450 yards that they gave up against the two zone run teams that they went against. They gave up, what, 230 yards this week?
Yeah.
Pretty much three touchdowns. They're terrible against the zone run. So we'll see. Again, as the weeks go on, they need to pass more tests, but they passed this first test with flying colors.
Okay. Shout out to you, David Cleet. For the super chat, 499, love the content, guys. Boy, shaving, LOL, go Browns. And another one here from Europe says, my Steelers are 9-0. Only concern is that I'm afraid for a lot of bandwagon glory Hunter fans here in Germany. By the way, Sonny is for sure the only Ravens fan in all Europe. Love y'all.
How are Steelers fans like, oh, man, we're going to get all these bandwagon fans? Like, that's not the entire Steelers fan base.
Don't.
Come on. Y'all don't even stay after the first half.
It's the design of the stadium. No. They stay in the first half. They're stuck in the concourse, which is terribly designed.
All right. Let me ask unbiased third party here. Ace, how many dudes have you run into
that cheer
for the Steelers, but they don't know nobody on the team, though, other than Ben?
Oh, I know a lot of them. I know some. Ironically, Quincy, one of my friends, she's from
Cleveland. Your dad's a Steeler fan?
She's from Cleveland and she cheers for the Steelers. And I'm like, what are you
all
doing?
All over the place. They're just nothing but bandwagon fans for the Steelers and Cowboys. That's all they got. What do you, how else do you go to Denver and it's a home game? Because all them damn fair weather fans out in Denver, like, you get the
they're always like, baby. Steelers fans travel. I'm like, no, they don't.
Oh, my goodness.
They're there.
That bandwagon just deep.
So Ace, what do you thought about this game?
I think the Browns did what I said that they had to do last week. I think them getting Nick Chubb back was going to help them recommit to that power run that they've been having. And that's what we saw. We saw them fully take advantage of that. The defense played solid. I've really been impressed with the Browns defense in recent weeks. I think if we were to go all the way back to week one, I don't think any of us would have thought that this would be a Browns team that would hold someone like Deshaun Watson, even though the Texans have been bad. For me, sorry about that. So we wouldn't think that they would shut Deshaun Watson or anything like that down. So I think they came out, handled business. We'll have to see how they evolve, but I think they are doing what they should do, which is relying on those running backs, playing solid defense with Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, and just doing their thing.
Yeah, I agree here with you. Look, let me take a whack out of this. I think Chubb and Garrett are the MVP for this team, one on offense and one on defense. And this is no discredit to Baker. I actually thought Baker had a really good game. As Quincy mentioned, with those conditions, he was efficient. He was very good with the ball. He took care of the ball. And I think going back to, I don't know, week three, week two, I mean, we have been talking about this Brown team being run heavy, play action. That helps a lot. And the running game when Chubb went out became good. When Chubb is in the lineup, becomes elite. It goes from good to quasi-great to elite. And that's a big difference. And again, that will help Baker, because the reality is you have Chubb, which is a top five UC running back in the league. And then when he needs a break, you have another really good back. When Chubb is not there, that really good back, yeah, he performs well, but then who is behind him? A decent back, but not a guy like Chubb and Hunt. So saying that, I agree with Ace also that the defense is performing better, but it goes back to something that the Ravens did really good last year, and I'm trying to bring the Ravens into this conversation, but the time of possession. The time of possession helps that defense out. When you have holes, when Myles Garrett is getting triple teamed throughout the game, right, so the body, you get tired, but when you have to be less there in the field, that helps a lot. So the ability of the Browns basically slowing that game down, taking control of the time of possession, is going to help bolster that defense going forward. It's going to help Baker. Again, as long as Baker keeps being efficient, and again, conditions weren't good, you have to give credit to the guy. He took care of the ball and he passed efficiently. I think the Browns can be very dangerous. Tony, what do you think about this game?
Well, okay, let's first of all talk about this whole T.J. Watt versus Myles Garrett thing, because, okay, Myles Garrett does have more sacks than T.J. Watt right now. It's 10-9. They play the same number of games. But my, you know, as you guys know, I'm not a sack guy. I'm a pressure guy. Yeah, pressure. Do you want to know the pressure numbers?
Pressure,
50 pressures for T.J. Watt, just 40 for Myles Garrett. Actually, T.J. Watt has
By the way, how often does T.J. Watt get, like, doubled and tripled with the defensive line that you guys have?
They definitely favor TJ.
I'm pretty sure Miles is. Yeah, I bet Miles gets tripled.
Okay, but the argument you're making is for most valuable defensive player, which is not what the award is. It's for the best season, right? And TJ Watt right now is having a better season than Myles Garrett.
It's defensive player of the year.
Right, not most valuable defensive player.
It's not
player,
best
right?
season of the year.
Yes,
it's
it is. That is what these awards are. That's why you have offensive player of the year. Wait, hold on.
It's the MVP for defense, essentially. That's what the award is.
I don't want to derail. What is the difference between MVP and offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year? Why wouldn't the MVP also then get offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year?
Because they don't want to double dip and give same guy two awards. They just want to spread it out more often.
I agree with Tony and the differentiation, but I think Myles Garrett reminds me of Mac when he was in the Raiders and they had nothing and he was winning defensive player of the year. This is what's going to happen with Mac. I'm sorry. This is what's going to happen with Garrett.
Regardless of what
you're going to make that argument, it's a legitimate argument to make. But yeah, I would think TJ Watt having a better year.
This is my issue with it. Regardless of whether you categorize it one way or not, you still have to control for certain variables and say, if these two players were on equal playing field, who's the better player? That's what you're saying when you're saying who's the better player. Not who's benefiting from having a better season or who's benefiting from whatever. You have to balance these things and be like, all right, if TJ Watt and Myles Garrett were in the same garbage situation, who do you think would produce more? Well, we know what Myles Garrett can do in that situation. We know that TJ Watt is benefiting from that situation, and they're putting up comparable numbers. So the tiebreaker goes to Myles Garrett in that situation.
I don't know. I mean, again, but you're trying to argue a negative, right? Because we don't know what TJ Watt would look like on a bad defense. He's not playing on one.
That,
right?
I'm not saying that he would get worse. I'm saying that, look, if it's comparable, if Myles Garrett is looking like TJ Watt, we know what TJ Watt is in a good situation, though, right?
Yeah, I really don't argue about pass rushers.
Of course.
Ravens don't have any either.
Hey, come on. Cole Lawson is better than both. We'll talk about Yannick later. All right, let me talk about this Browns game real quick. This was a good win for the Browns. Now, this was AFC North weather. Right? We're getting into that time of the year where it is AFC North time, you know, just weather-wise. And, you know, this one reminded me a little bit of that Steelers-Dolphins game that was played in the middle of, like, a tropical storm. There was a lot of rain. Obviously, there's no rain in this game, but the wind in that game just made it so that you really couldn't throw the football. So in this game, you know, obviously the passing game wasn't going to work, and that really did play into the Browns because I thought Deshaun Watson might have some success down the football field in this game. Well, that wasn't going to happen with, you know, 50-mile-an-hour winds or whatever it was. It was a weird game, though, because this was a low-scoring game, 10-7, but there was low scoring, but, like, you know, it would be like a low-scoring baseball game, but if there were runners on base every inning. They were moving the ball. Like the Texans had a drive where they moved down to the goal line. The Browns got a big stop. Cleveland got stopped just before the half. They were right outside of, you know, field goal range. I mean, I don't know if they were going to kick that long field goal, but they might have tried at the end of the half. And then Houston did attempt the 46-yarder, which they missed. So, you know, they were moving the football in this game, but it was the Browns that were making the bigger plays. And, you know, credit to Nick Chubb. Like you said, he came back. Now, it was a little stat patty, I will say. Little stat patty, his numbers. 126, but remember, a bunch of that came on, you know, the one play, the one big play. He had 18 carries for 67 yards before that, only 3.7 yards per carry. But again, you know, he still had his big chunk plays that he does, the 10, 11-yard run. They were mixed in there, probably more negative runs than you'd like for Nick Chubb, but it was his first game back. And he did, and you can't take away the big run from him because, you know, that was the difference in the game, right? That was the game winner, that long run he had at the end of the game. The weirdest part of this game, though, in what was a weird game, was that this Cleveland team, as I've said before, they're learning to win. I mean, we'd all seen this one before. This was late in the game. It felt like the game was 3-0 forever. And you just felt like this is the Browns. I've seen this Browns game before. They're going to make a dumb mistake at some point. The Texans are going to get back in this game, and the Texans are going to go on to win it. Even when the game was 10-7, I still was like, all right, I've probably seen this one too, where the Browns are going to screw this one even later in Never the football game. And they didn't. And they, you know, the nice thing about this game is that they continue – the nice thing about the Browns season is that they continue to find ways to win. It's why this team is 6-3 and not 3-6. They've had three times this year where they could have easily lost games like this. That Dallas game earlier in the year, this game, and then I'm going to forget the third game that they had. The Bengals game.
Sorry.
That they had. Yeah, the Bengals game that they had late in that one. So, you know, credit to the Browns for getting their sixth win of the year. This does look like, Quincy, you're right. I think this does look like a team that's headed for that seventh seed in the AFC.
Okay, so let's talk about the AFC matchup of the week here between the Bengals and the Steelers. Before I keep going, there's a super chat. Let's take care of that real quick. Shout out to you, David. Klee, Browns got the best running attack in the league. When healthy, look out. Player of the year is still to be determined, but come on. You know who Myles Garrett.
You know it's Myles Garrett. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's what you say.
Yeah.
We know what it is. It's Myles Garrett.
I mean, to be honest, if I was a voter, I think Myles Garrett would be, in my opinion right now, Defensive Player of the Year. Tomlin right now will be Coach of the Year.
Really? Over Brian Flores?
Yeah, over Brian. If he goes undefeated.
Over Kingsbury? Over Kingsbury?
Yeah, over Kingsbury. I think.
I think Tomlin
this year for me right now. Now, if the Steelers for some reason they don't get the first seed and the Dolphins make the playoff, then I think it's Flores, right? So he's close there. But I think Myles Garrett right now you have to put him in the Defensive Player of the Year, in my opinion. Offensive Player of the Year, I don't know. I think there's a lot of different players out there. But anyway, let's talk about Cincy and the Steelers. This was a game that I said on Thursday, yo, if the Cincinnati Bengals, as the Bengals starts fast, right? I said, like, the only way the Bengals can win is the Bengals start fast because the Steelers usually start slow, right? And hopefully on their back end, the defense can hold. Well, the Steelers did start slow on cue, right? They start slow, but the Bengals didn't get the other side of the of that coin. They didn't start fast. So I was so frustrated. I was like, the Steelers ain't doing much. The second quarter came, and then they got a little bit better, and obviously the game got away. But I was like, and obviously the game starts muff punt. That doesn't work very well. But I want to hear, Ace, what did you saw about this game, man?
I saw that the Cincinnati Bengals are nowhere near in the same class as the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Baltimore Ravens. That's what I saw. I think you hit the nail on the head, Sonny. We all came into this saying, we all have watched like the Steelers and the Bengals this season, and we obviously had saw how up and down the Steelers have been. When they're hot, they're hot. When they're cold, they're cold. And when you have them come into a game where they have a pretty much a three and out, you got to take advantage of that, right? Especially on the road in Heinz Field. That was an opportune time for them to do something. And then Alex Erickson fumbles the punt. And not only does he fumble it, it's right in Bengals territory. So, you know, Big Ben and the Steelers, they had the wind to their backs, which I don't know. I wasn't at the game. I don't know what the wind speeds were. But obviously in football, when you have or if you're going to take the ball at the in the first half, obviously you're going to go in the direction of the wind if it's windy. So that was already something that the Bengals were going through there. Alex Erickson fumbles. One of the issues that I was worried about, I said, wasn't exactly just the pass rush. It was the Steelers wide receivers because the Bengals had so many injuries at corner. And in this game, they went into it with three healthy corners. Not only did that happen, Mackenzie Alexander decides to go down. And essentially, Tony Brown was just being picked on. Like, Tomlin was just smart and was just like, all right, Bengals don't have corners. Got it. We're just going to go five wide all game, and they're not going to be able to stop it. So you have that happen. You have the Bengals make more mistakes with another fumble right after that from T. Higgins. T. Higgins was the only bright spot in this game. Him going over 100 yards receiving in this game was good. There were definitely some questions, and like I said, I wasn't there. I don't know what the win was, but it didn't seem that Burrow was being effective throwing into the win or on the other side, but Ben threw right into that win. It may have been later in the game, didn't seem to have any issues. So at first I would probably say the offensive line actually held up pretty well until TJ Watt wrecked them right before the end of the half. I was kind of surprised to see that Hakeem Adeniji was able to hold up because Jonah did not play in this game. It was kind of weird. They expected Jonah to play. They went out before the game. Jonah was not out there. So Hakeem Adeniji, a guy that they drafted in the fifth round, or the sixth round, one of the two, ended up playing left tackle, held it together. Quentin Spain, who's supposed to be a guard, was just like, all right, I'm going to play right tackle now. So they literally had a full line of guards in one center. And they were able to do an admirable job against that front. Like, I thought that this could have been a game where Joe Burrow was hit or sacked eight times. They came out with four, but it still got ugly in the second half. And you just didn't see anything from the offense. You're talking about giving the Steelers six straight possessions. It literally was insane that Zach Taylor on those first four drives barely ran the ball. It was just like, all right, first down, we're going to run it. Next possession, we're not going to run it. Third possession, we're going to run it once. And it was just a whole bunch of three and outs. And the drive that they actually scored a touchdown on, it was because they decided to run the ball more than once. And so, to me, it just put in perspective that this team is not on the level of the class of the AFC North. And when I say that, I'm talking about the Steelers, you're talking about the Ravens, and even the Browns. We got swept by the Browns as well, and that's not a shot at the Browns at all. We're just not close to any of these teams right now in the division after we kind of got some false hope against the Titans. So there's a lot of issues with this team. I think, number one, you still got to make sure that you protect Burrow. Number two, you talk about that edge rush. I didn't think that the edge rush was as bad. They were getting pressure on Ben. They just couldn't get home. Like, Carl Lawson had plays where he was there. He just couldn't get there in time. And they were just targeting Tony Brown. And there was another guy. I didn't even know who he was. Number 37, I didn't even, like, it's rare that I get stumped on not knowing who a Bengals player was. This is a guy that they signed off of the street. And essentially, like Tony said, their offense is predicated on getting the ball out of Ben's hands immediately. So before Carl Lawson or anyone could ever get home, the ball was gone. And they were picking on these corners. They were doing their thing. William Jackson III got beat on a play. Deontay Johnson, I talked about. Chase Claypool, I talked about. These guys took off. James Washington, like, it pretty much was was tic-tac-toe for that Steelers offense. They were just X-ing everything out all over the field in this Bengals defense. And it just really got out of hand pretty quickly. So for me, it just was something that just brought it all back to home to understand that this team right now is not competing for any kind of playoff spot whatsoever. They're competing for a top five draft spot. And I think that was made evident in this game.
Okay, before we move to that super chat, I want to ask one simple question. I keep hearing about the arm strength of Burrow. It's something that I keep, you know, seeing. Obviously, I watch the games, but I don't watch the games in super detail like you know, Bengals fans do. And the people that have been hearing it from are Bengals fans.
Right.
So what do you think? Is he hurt? Are they saying he's hurt? Or is he just cannot push that ball down the field? Because he's a big dude, right? Yeah. We're not talking about a guy. And I mean, Kyle Murray's not that big. And you saw what he threw over there at the end of the game. But what do you think it could be? It could be doesn't have it.
I mean, he is hurt now. He definitely was limping in that game. But I think that was from taking a shot from Bud Dupree. But all right. So for me, I think it's always been an issue with Joe Burrow about his arm strength. That's not new. Like, a lot of people are acting like, oh, this is overblown. No, we've known that since before he got into the league. It was a major thing that was talked about in draft circles. And when it came down to it, I used to bring it up as well, is, you know, in terms of arm strength, Tua and Herbert, they have no issues there. Joe, he definitely has that as a potential issue. And we've seen it this entire season. I think that some of our fans just want to be satisfied with Joe Burrow and they're trying to overlook it. But it's a glaring, obvious, like, issue. And I think that there's also been some issues, obviously, with him and AJ Green. They're not on the same page. It's now week 10. It's still not working. And I think one of the things is that people want to believe that Joe Burrow is on a completely different level than Andy Dalton, and he is. But they do both have a similar issue when it comes to deep ball accuracy. There are a lot of errant passes that are not on point when those guys go deep. And, you know, it's going to have to be something that he's going to have to work in the offseason on. You know, all these guys are always working on their craft. That definitely has to be something, because if defenses know that, they're not going to worry about deep shots and stuff like that in the game. They're just going to play a certain type of scheme and know that he can't take the top off of the defense as a passer. And, you know, that's what it's going to be. I think even when you go back to the Philadelphia Eagles game, Carson Wentz was throwing bombs. Joe Burrow can't throw passes like that. So that definitely has affected them against different teams. I don't think that he's hurt. I don't think that it's an injury thing. I just think that that was a valid concern coming in with him as a prospect, and you're seeing it now.
Okay, so let's take care of the super chat. Yep. Shout out to you, Asa Adams. First off, Tony, Big Ben over Matt Ryan.
Let me ask you this, Asia. What would the Steelers record be with Matt Ryan at quarterback? That's the question I have. How much person
would
they be?
Also, before people bash James Conner, the dude been a monster in pass pro. And before I toss it to Tony, 220 people watching. Shout out to all of you. But please just give me 2 seconds, hit that like button. Please, that's all I want. Tony, what do you think about this game?
Well, first of all, yeah, I mean, he is right about James Conner being very good in pass protection. It's been a plus for him, even though as a runner, he's, you know, I think I said this earlier in the year, the guy's lost a step clearly, although I think he's still good in space. The run blocking's not doing him any favors. It's not like, you know, it's not like when Benny Snell gets in the game, you know, he's ripping off 12-yard runs, and then when Conner comes in, he's getting caught behind the line. That's not happening. So, you know, the run blocking's not doing Conner any favors, but, you know, Conner's not, you know, I don't think he's an above average runner by any stretch. You know, what to talk about in this Bengals Steelers game? What should we talk about? I'll tell you, we should talk about the best quarterback in the AFC North. Ben Roethlisberger cooking once again, adding 4 more touchdowns to his total. Chef Ben showed up this week. I don't know if you guys noticed, there was no running in this. I mean, the Steelers could not run the football whatsoever in this game, but Ben Roethlisberger adds another 4 touchdowns. Pretty easy. 22 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions on the year. That's, by the way, 22 touchdowns, second only to Patrick Mahomes in the AFC. It's Ben Roethlisberger's 7th free, turnover-free game of the season, giving him the most since 2014. You know, I hear a lot about this Ben for MVP talk, right? A lot of Steelers fans want, you know, Ben should get MVP votes. Ben, you know, Ben should be in the MVP conversation. MVP. It is a great year. for Ben Roethlisberger. But, and it's probably his best season since 2014, no doubt about it. I mean, he's come back and been fantastic after this elbow surgery. MVP, though, I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet, right? I think the problem I have with Ben as MVP is that that ignores what's happening on the defensive side of the ball. And this is another dominant performance from the Steeler defense. I mean, Joe Burrow had no answers. You know, Ace talked about this. You know, he was shut down all day. The amount, what do they have, like 6-3 and outs in this game? Yeah. You know, I mean, they just could not move the football. And I was worried about this game because, you know, this is going to be the first time a Steeler team was going to face an 11 personnel. This was the, by the way, the weird thing about this Bengal offense, the number one offense by EPA in the last 3 weeks, this is an offense that came into this game red hot. And the Steelers shut it down. It's what the Steelers do best, which is that they take away what you do well and then put you take you out of your comfort zone. They took away Tyler Boyd in this game for the most part. T. Higgins had some big plays, but just generally speaking, the Bengals offense never found a groove. It wasn't that the Steelers were bringing pressure on every play. Like you talked about, Ace, the offensive line held up when they only rushed 4, and the Steelers dropped into coverage a lot. But, again, it didn't affect the outcome. Joe Burrow had no answers. I know that the Bengals were certainly banged up in this game. That they started Samari Perine as their starting running back in this game, and they had injuries all over the place. But I'll tell you what, the Pittsburgh Steelers right now on defense held the Bengals 0-13 on third down. Not a single third down conversion for this Bengals team. Like I said, this is a Bengals team that came in red hot, number one in EPA coming into this game over the last 3 games. This is a Steelers third down defense that hadn't been good in the last couple, in early parts of the year. They were giving up right around 50% of third down conversions. That's come down now to 39% after what was a dominating performance. Now I do want to talk about Joe Burrow's arm strength because, you know, you brought it up there, Sonny. It was the first thing that stuck out to me in this game. The first thing that stuck out. I think Joe Burrow's arm strength is going to be a problem for him long-term. He's got to be a more anticipatory thrower if he's going to hit downfield shots, because that arm strength, I mean, it might be NFL caliber, but it's borderline for me. It was obvious to me that he was not going to be able to hit sideline shots. It was easy for cornerbacks to make plays on the ball, especially in this weather. So that's a real concern I have for him going forward. Then one other thing I want to talk about real quick is the fake punt, because the Bengals ran a fake punt late in this game. They're down 36-7, and they decide, oh, let's run a fake punt. Weird decision late in the game. Charlie Batch tweeted about this after the game. He said, Mike Tomlin will not look for this in the second matchup. Mike Tomlin will not forget this. Now, I don't understand that. I never thought of Mike Tomlin as that kind of coach. You know, he wants revenge in those moments. That was surprising to me, but it is something to look out for. It was a weird thing for Zach Taylor to do in this game. Seemed out of character for him. And, you know, we'll see what happens in the second matchup. But obviously, happy to be 9-0. Happy that my boy Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball 44 times in this game. Easy money, no running game, fine, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, balling out of control.
Totally in character for Zach Taylor, by the way. This is Ace.
Okay, let me take the super chat before I go to Quincy here. This super chat's from Steel.
Yeah.
Guy and play.
Gunplay.
Tony, Steeler Nation tired of you doubting your own team. We are about to make a request to Quincy to be the spokesperson for us. He writes for us more than you.
Wow.
Super Bowl bound, baby. 9-0.
Well, listen.
My man spelled my name wrong and everything, too. Shout out to you, Steeler. All right. By the way, it's a common mistake. I don't know why people spell it with the E. I've never got that. But, yeah, I mean, look, man. I think ever since I've come off that 6-10 train for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that was a hell of a train to be on, I've been pretty correct about everything I've said about the Pittsburgh Steelers. And last week, y'all were out here because they played bad against Dallas, somehow hesitant on what the choice was going to be for this game. Tony was on the fence. Sonny was on the fence. Ace went all the way with the Bengals.
I was hopeful.
Sonny went where he had to go.
It was foolish to be hopeful. It was foolish to be hopeful. I told y'all 3 weeks ago, this division was a wrap. It's over with. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. It's done with. You can't get it back. All right. So what'd I tell y'all? What did I tell y'all? I said, oh, yeah, they're going to play bad against the Cowboys, and then they'll come in and they'll play a division game, and they'll look amazing because that's what they do. That's what they've done all season. You can't take what they have done from one game and think it's just going to translate to the next. It ain't like that with Pittsburgh. They're a veteran team. They put as much energy into a game as they need to. As far as Joe Burrow's arm strength, would I be worried about it if I'm a Bengals fan? No, not really. Again, just as a rule of thumb, we did this the last time, right? When a rookie quarterback looks bad against a really like good or a defense that can confuse him, take it with a grain of salt. It is what it is. I think he's fine. He has the same amount of arm strength, I think, as Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson has gotten around in the league quite fine so far in his young career. Those two players are very comparable. I think it's a little overblown, the arm strength stuff, but that stuff's been out there since he was in LSU. It was a thing in Ohio State. That's why Dwayne Haskins got picked over him that year that they were both on the same team, because Dwayne Haskins has tremendous arm strength. Now, we've seen what that's done for Dwayne Haskins, right? So, you know, I'm not going to get too blown into that. I think you can have a fine career and not have tremendous arm strength. It's just sometimes elements will get you. Sometimes it will get the better of you. You know, it's a flaw that could be exploited, but it's not something that could be repeated for 16 straight games and at ease with that. So I'm not that worried about it. Steelers did exactly what we thought they were going to do. Dominate on defense. Big Ben was going to start getting cooking, and then boom, it's going to dice up the Bengals. Like all this stuff is fairly predictable in my opinion. You know, Steelers are a really good team. You know, again, I say this, and I don't like saying it, and I don't like the Steelers fans want me to represent them. But 14-2 is their floor. I don't see how they go worse than 14-2. And honestly, they would have to play pretty bad to go 14-2. So, you know, it is what it is. Just live with it. I'm telling you, other AFC North teams, once you just accept the reality that Steelers are going to have a ridiculous regular season record this year, you know, you'll feel much better. You'll be able to focus on the right things, and you'll be able to be more accurate with your decision making there. They're good. They're going to be really good. And they're probably Tony's going to be just unbearable till the end of the season. So we're just going to, he's muted. That's awesome. Awesome.
I muted myself. I already am. Yeah. I'm already an insufferable. Let's be real.
Yeah, I know. It's just going to
have been since about week 4.
So. Yeah. I mean, it's just going to be what it is. So that is what it is. I'm not too worried about it. I think the Bengals are still going to be a good team. They still have a very good chance, honestly, to finish 7-8-1. I still think the Bengals do. Like they could not win a single. Honestly, they could not win a single division game going forward. They could still do that. They still have the Giants on the roster. They still have all those third place teams last place teams on their schedule. They could easily do it. You know, it's just going to be up to if Zach Taylor is going to be competent enough to do it. And I don't know if that's the case there, but I do think Joe Burrow could be good enough to make it happen. So. This is pretty much what we knew. But what's more interesting, and I'm sure Sonny is just excited to talk about it, is Sunday Night Football.
You know, I think at this point we can shut up the stream
right from a nice 4 o'clock game.
And,
right,
and Quincy, you don't have to lie about the Bengals, bro. We're not winning 7 games.
I think you're winning seven games. I honestly do. I think you're winning seven games.
4-3-4 like that.
You have a better chance of getting an Xbox right now than the Bengals get it.
I'm optimistic, baby. I might get an Xbox. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know. It could happen. You don't know.
By the way, before I talk about the Ravens game, shout out to Eric Farley. Hopefully I pronounced that last name correct, for that donation. Thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. And again, we had 257 people watching, so please hit that like. Okay.
We got 89 likes. We got 259 people. We got some people. Listen, we got too many of you. We need 100 likes here. Come on.
And if you haven't subscribed, go ahead, subscribe, hit that bell. Anyway, so first of all, let me say it sucks to have a primetime game living in Europe.
Having two hours to sleep.
I went to bed.
Top of the morning.
I watched half of the Steelers game, and then I went to bed.
Yeah.
And woke up at 1 a.m. local time here. Watched the game. I was super hot. Streamed with Nubo for a while. Then was talking with him, Raven, and went all the way to 10 p.m. the next day before I went to bed. So, yes, it was a rough, it was a hard day. Anyway, let's talk about this game. Look, this game was in bad conditions, as similar to the Browns. It was very, very windy. It was also raining throughout the game. They kept saying, like, oh, the rain might lay off. It didn't lay off. And by the way, on our last drive, we're, there was very little chance that we could score with the time. But the, man, that rain picked up badly. So I thought Lamar had a good game. I actually thought Lamar had a good game. The Ravens are getting hammered with injuries right now. So Calais Campbell didn't play, right? And first or second series of the game, Big Baby goes out. And after that, that A-gap was wide open. It was just shroom. It was like a train was running. This guy Harris, I had never seen him before, never heard about it. Running, running, running. He Bill Belichick exploited that A-gap. I mean, he killed us. And
as, appreciate all the likes, by the way.
Yeah, no, appreciate that the likes are going up. And as the game moved forward, the offense was doing their thing. They were moving the ball. But the defense were not stopping at all. They weren't stopping. That first half was basically defense was getting just clogged on the run side. The touchdowns were passing. There was a trick play that Patrick Queen looked non-interested in covering. He was like, yeah, I know the guy. Looks like he's going to throw. And then Harbaugh said, like, we practiced this. I don't know why Queen was surprised about it. But Queen looked like, yeah, I don't want to cover. And then he half-assed it and still scored a touchdown. The guy from the Patriots. On the other play, Terrell Bond, which, again, has been a common person that I keep mentioning, although he got hurt. Hopefully he feels good. He got completely out of position, and it was wide open touchdown. So those were the two touchdowns in the first half for the Patriots. And look, the offense were moving the ball. They weren't scoring necessarily touchdown. They did score the one on Willie Snead. But Lamar was very efficient with the ball, again, in the conditions. I thought he had three bad throws. The pick obviously was horrible. Horrible decision. There's another one that should have been a pick as well. And the one that he threw, it looked like the ball slipped out of his hand, but I'm going to count as a bad throw. Andrews was there in the end zone, but the ball slipped and hit the ground. So those were the three, in my opinion, bad throws. For the rest, I thought he played efficient. He played well. The problem was, again, O-line, not good. They ended up putting, similar to what Ace was saying, a backup guard in the right tackle position. They should have benched the center. Look, Skura right now, in my opinion, is going to cost you games. The reason why is not necessarily by the two completely missed snaps, right? One on fourth and one, which I disagree with the play call, but the play didn't have any chance. The ball was snapped way out of the hands of Mark Ingram. And the other one, the Ravens are actually with momentum, right? They come from scoring a touchdown. This is the next drive. They're moving the ball. Bad snap, 16-yard loss, right? So now second and 26, deep in their own field, so you're not going to go for it, even if you get close to a 4-3 or whatever, right? So that was not great. But it's not those that people are like, oh, those bad. No, the problem is the snaps are not coming clean. So Lamar has to now come and get it all over the place. So now as a quarterback, you have to pay attention to that snap. And what that does to Baltimore specifically, our offense is predicated in that read pass option, right? The RPO. But right now, by the time that the snap is getting there, the running back is basically next to Lamar. So there's no reading for him. It's basically either giving it or taking it. Usually on a clean snap for the Ravens, what it used to be was, let me check how that DN is reacting, right? And then I can keep, and I still can throw or I can run. We can't do that because the snaps are being bad. Plus the O-line is not blocking well, but the snaps itself. So saying that, I think the center either is going to get benched soon if he continues because he's not pass blocking well. He's not run blocking well. And the fundamental of a center is snapping the damn ball. And you cannot snap the ball. It's not going to go good for him. We lost Nick Boyle, so we're down to one tight end. Like I said, Brandon Williams, he's lost for a couple weeks at least, is what Harbaugh says. Calais Campbell's week to week. LJ Ford didn't play either. Jimmy Smith didn't play either. So we were down to our two top corners. But after that, we brought Williams, Trey Williams from the street, and we make him a starter. Bond was out. He got injured in this game. We are down so many people there. At this point, any single injury is just bringing somebody, not even from practice, because from outside. We are going to sign, I'm blanking the guy's name, from Seattle. Luke, he was practice. Well, thank you. So he wasn't even on the team, but we need, right now, we don't even have depth. We don't have depth. So the Ravens obviously need to get healthier. It's not the end of the world. The team is still good. But the problem that the Ravens have right now is, going forward, since everybody's talking about schedule, is the next opponent, although that opponent is struggling, is not a good matchup for the Ravens. And we'll talk about this on Thursday, but they're coming from a mini bye. They're a power running team, and you're hurt where they can run. Not very good for the Ravens. Again, the main thing for me that I took out of this game, Bill Belichick is still Bill Belichick. He will know your weakness, and he will exploit it. And look, Lamar played good. This is not on Lamar. You know, guys, I came here against the Steelers, and I said Lamar was horrible. He was horrible against the Steelers. In this game, he was good for everything that was happening, right? Conditions, wet ball, wind, and bad O-line. Not a recipe for success. So I thought Lamar played what he needed to do. And to get the W, obviously we fell short. And hey, we deserved that L. It wasn't like our team played better. The Patriots beat us. So, and who wants to go take a whack? Actually,
well,
okay, Quincy, go, Quincy.
Yeah. So look, I've taken a lot of flack on this show for a lot of my takes about the Baltimore Ravens throughout this season, and I don't think I've been wrong on any of them. I'm just gonna be honest with you guys. There, I think. I was the first one saying the offense has not looked the same. The offense looked a little clunky. It's been like that since like week two. You know what I mean? Like that complaint's been out there for the Baltimore Ravens since week two. So I don't have any faith that it's going to change anytime soon, especially with them being more hurt. You know, I don't know what that center was doing all game, but that was just awful. You know, and Mark Ingram looks like he's lost a step. Most definitely. Lamar Jackson, I don't know what it is. He should not be losing a step, but he just doesn't look as explosive when he runs. Even when he gets yards there, it's just not the same as it was in 2019. I hope he's like okay. I don't know. It's like weird. He's not hitting that second and third gear like he used to. It looks like he's just stuck in first gear whenever he runs. And he doesn't do those wow, like we haven't had any of those wow jaw-breaking kind of highlights that he normally gives, jaw-dropping kind of highlights that he normally gives you. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but we talked about the failure of the wide receivers on the outside, especially the young ones like Marquise Brown, Boykin, everybody else involved there. Did they lose another tight end? I know Nick Boyle went down at some point in the game, but is he out again?
Like,
is he
out for the year.
Wow.
It was a broken leg or something like that.
And this is where I'm going to point the finger at Eric DaCosta. All right. Now, everybody wants to go coaching staff. The coaching staff has to put together an offense with what the general manager gives them. The general manager said, we're going to double down on wide receivers and not go in on this tight end stuff. So you can't really blame Greg Roman for calling an offense for an offense that goes to the wide receivers a lot when that's exactly the soup that Eric DaCosta provided him. And that's the problem with the Ravens right now. They went away from the tight ends and they focused on all of these wide receivers who just quite frankly weren't good enough to focus on. We can have our arguments about the future of some of these guys, but right now we know for a fact they're not good enough. They can't carry you. So now you got Mark Andrews and your second tight end is what, Picard? You know what I mean? Like a team that dominated so much with the tight ends last year is now down to one tight end. They only kept two on the roster before the season started, and they're wondering why the offense doesn't look the same as last year. They're wondering why the play calling is different than last year. That's why Eric DaCosta did not provide the offense with the pieces that they had last year in order to run that offense that they had last year. They wanted to change it. They wanted to have a little bit of a shift on how this offense works, and now you're seeing it's not working. It's not a good choice. Hopefully they go back to it next year, but it just was a poor choice, I think, on the Ravens' part, and I think you're seeing that pay down. Yannick Ngakoue has not really done much this season. So I bet he's a little bit of a disappointment. Is that coming from my side? But But Yannick Ngakoue has been a little bit of a disappointment. Matt Judon's been a disappointment. Inside, I think everybody but Calais Campbell has not been performing up to the level that we thought they were going to perform at. Patrick Queen's been up and down. He had that one bad play, but I think he's been solid otherwise. Yeah. And you're just, it's just
this 28 PFF grade for whatever that means. Wow. For the year.
Wow.
I think that's harsh.
PFF grades are like weird for linebackers though, because like there's some decent linebackers that have like a 40. Yeah.
Devin White is like apparently trash according to PFF.
Yeah, it's weird. You know what I mean? They'll have like DeMario Davis is the best one in the NFL. I don't think that's the case. But you know, it's just this team's not as disciplined as last year as well. They had some dumb penalties in this game. You had the one where the guy on the field on the punt decided to just tackle the guy who obviously fair catched. You know, it's just weird, dumb penalties, false starts, not being lined up where you needed to. This looked like a team coached by a first year. This looked like a Freddie Kitchens coach team that time. It just did not make sense. You know what this reminded me of? This reminded me of watching the Browns, like back in like last year. It reminded me of watching the Browns where you're like, it's all there. There's all this talent, but dude, they cannot get their head in the game. Also, one thing we can't ignore, and like, I don't even think this was a big game, but it was on a big platform, Sunday Night Football. Nothing. You don't like this is how many times in a row?
Hey, it's all of them.
This is it's a thing. This year, at the very least, this year, it's a thing because it started in the playoffs last year and then it's been all this season. So whether it was a thing before him or not, it's definitely a thing. And you can start to see it manifest itself. Like that monkey on the back of the Baltimore Ravens is now physical. You can see they should not have lost this game to the New England Patriots. There's no reason. I don't care what the weather was. That should have advantaged the Baltimore Ravens because they are supposed to be the best running team in football.
The best running team in football.
Yeah, and it's like we talked about identity theft being a thing when the Browns lost that game against the Raiders. This is the same exact situation that the Patriots did to them. And if you're the Baltimore Ravens, you have to ask yourself, why are we so much? It might not seem record wise, but if you watch this team play versus the team you watched at the tail end of 2019, why are they so much worse than they were last year? Like, they should not be this much worse than they were. They should not be this much less explosive than they were last year. Like, I dogged on Hollywood Brown a lot, but I didn't expect him to be this pathetic at this point of the season. I thought he'd be better than this, and I was not high on him at all. But 2 receptions, 14 yards, that's your number one receiver. Like, how are these pieces regressing in Baltimore? Why is this happening? Why did the offense, why did the decision making at the top decide to do something that wasn't advantageous for your young quarterback and buy in on these wide receivers? Why are these decisions being made? Why are you at this point? And the real question is, will they be able to overcome all these injuries, all this, you know, I don't want to say dysfunction, it's not dysfunctional, but all of this just sloppiness? Are they going to be able to come back and make the playoffs in a year where like 10-6 might get you in? I don't know.
They have an easy schedule. I mean, they have an easy schedule. That's what gets them in.
Do they have an easy schedule though? Because you know how snowballs work in NFL. They play the Titans, then they play the Steelers, and then they get a couple of weeks. Well, not a couple of weeks off. They have like games against NFL teams. They also play the Browns at home. Like, these aren't easy games for Baltimore. And honestly, they just lost to a 3-5 team.
Yeah, but I mean, it's 3-5 team with Cam Newton and Bill Belichick, though. I mean, you know, but it's
we weren't saying that when they barely beat the Jets last week. You thought the Jets were going to beat the Patriots last week.
Jets should have beat them. But that's a division game again. You know, weird things happen in division games.
Nah. This is Jets, dog. Like,
I agree with you.
Yeah, they got the next 3 out of their 4 games are going to be very tough. They play the Cowboys. They're not going to be like the Steelers and like do this whole tease thing with everybody where they're going to act like they lose against Cowboys. But even that game in Cincinnati, and I know Ace ain't at that point, that's going to be a tougher game than they think. You know, but the Bengals ain't going to win that one. But they could be very easily like close their eyes and without knowing it, be 6-5. Before they know.
Well, yeah, these next 2 games are very, very difficult for them because they have Titans and then Steelers back deck. We have a super chat just came in.
Hey, so Maddie Bond, thank you for that donation. you should be asking whose dumb idea it was to pull Lamar to run the Wildcat with Ingram. How does that make sense? Look.
Well, is Lamar running better than Ingram? Like last year that would have made sense, but he's
He is running better than Ingram.
Yeah. I don't know why Ingram. Okay, Ingram was terrible. Like,
I thought that play call was terrible. I know my Ravens fan is like, oh, you see Gert Roman call a horrible play. No, that play call was horrible. I don't think how he called the game was bad. That particular one, and you can always isolate a play here or there to prove a point. But that play didn't make any sense. But again, it goes back to it didn't make any sense. Would it work? I cannot tell you because the center snapped the ball badly. So I cannot even say, well, the play was dumb and it didn't work. I don't know if it would have worked. It might have worked for all I know. But the center's being a big problem for this team, again, because offensively, it takes away the element of surprise, the readability from Lamar Jackson in the RPO. Right now, he can't. He cannot read it because he is worried about the snap. Here's the other super chat. And with this, after this one, I'll go with you, Tony. Mm-hmm. Steel gunplay, right?
Gunplay.
Sorry. I don't know.
My bad, monetization.
Oh, there you go. I don't know who will be happier to see Baker extended for the Browns, Quincy or the Steelers. Please extend Baker.
I like that. I'm on please extend Lamar right now. Let me tell you something. Because look, okay, I've watched a lot of Ravens podcasts over the past 48 hours. And what Steeler fan hasn't, right? Because look, it's a great weekend. Not only did the Steelers beat the Bengals, a division rival, extend their lead to 9-0. But the Ravens also lost. And so do we want to watch some schadenfreude here as Steelers fans? Of course we do, especially after everything that got said this offseason. Right? Ravens fans so excited. They're so excited. Oh, we're going to win the division. Ben's a bum. He's coming back. I'm still the only one on this show, by the way, who predicted the Steelers to even have a winning record this year. Okay, Ravens fans were very sure that they were going to win the division and that Ben Roethlisberger was going to be trashed this year. So, yeah, I mean, Steelers fans, we're taking a victory lap, right? In fact, we're taking a victory marathon right now. You know, we got till the end of the season here to finish this one out. But, no, I do want to say, I watched you, Sonny, on Joe Nubo's show. I watched Joe Nubo's therapy session you had. I watched Engraven's videos. You were all saying the same thing. And I don't know if you guys have a group chat together where it's like, all right, here's how we defend Lamar this week. And you go, okay, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to say these things. Look, Lamar Jackson deserves criticism for this game. The idea, and all three of you have said it, so it's not just a criticism of you. It's a criticism of all three of you. All of you have put out this idea that Lamar Jackson had a good game. And I don't know if I'm watching a different version of Steelers or of Ravens games than you are. Maybe you have a different feed. But Lamar Jackson that I watched in this game once again came up small in the second half of this game. He did a great job of cutting the lead to 6 points. And he wasn't the only reason why they lost this game. I'm not saying this was a Steelers game all over again where he single-handedly cost them the game. But he was absolutely a reason that they lost this game. Okay, after they get the touchdown, they cut it to 6 points. What are the drives from that point? Three plays punt, six plays punt, four plays, turnover on downs, game over. In the first half, the Ravens on possession downs, third down, 4 of 6. In the second half, 2 of 7. I mean, he was markedly worse in the second half of this football game. And those were all plays where Lamar Jackson had his ball in the hands, either throwing or running. And the biggest play, we have the third down, the second and 12 that he threw to Willie. You know, the two or three bad passing, can we stop with that? I mean, he had like 7 or 8 horrific balls in this game.
No.
The one he threw to Willie Snead where he just missed him, Willie Snead's open and he just misses him high. Then on the third down play, okay, I don't know what the concept was. It looked like it was some kind of levels thing with a crosser, but mm-hmm. he dumps it off to Willie Snead in a catch and run. If he waits a second, he's got a crosser coming over the middle. Lamar Jackson, we grade him on a curve, right? I grade him as if he's a former MVP, okay? And I want to see this guy put up big plays in big moments. What is the big play of Lamar Jackson in this moment? There wasn't big plays late in this game. Ravens fans, though, want to grade him like he's a first grader at a bowling alley and we're pulling out the bumpers, you know, so we can great job, Lamar, great job.
Let me stop you. No, that's not true. Because again, I go here and I'm not saying that he did. I say he played a spectacular.
No, he said he played a good game. He did not play a good game.
He went on a whole day of rain, very windy, 34 attempts, 24 completions, 2 touchdowns, the 1 interception, 11 carries, 55 yards. The rest of the running backs went 7 carries for 42, 5 carries for 13, 5 carries for 5. So obviously the rest of the running backs weren't running at all. Lamar was the highest rusher, and again, under the conditions that this game was played, he had a pretty good game in the passing. I think when you hear me saying good game, I think you're hearing that I say he had an MVP performance. I'm not grading him on an MVP level.
If this were Ben Roethlisberger back there, or Peyton Manning, or Tom Brady, or Drew Brees, or any of the quarterbacks that Lamar Jackson wants to consider himself on that level, this is not a good game. 17 points from your offense in a league where teams are averaging 30 points a game is not a good game. That's not a good game offensively. And Lamar Jackson is the quarterback in a quarterback-driven league. He did not have a good game.
Where was this at last week?
I know. Why weren't you agreeing with me last week when I was saying this, by the way? Yeah.
Like, according to the standards set by last week, Cam Newton had a good game. 13 of 17, 118 passing yards.
No.
A touchdown and a rushing touchdown. Did you see Lamar Jackson?
What?
Lamar Jackson's numbers last week were probably not even that good, but they were saying that he had a good game
last week. He was 19 of 23 last week.
He didn't turn the ball over.
For how many yards?
And he made plays at the end of that game to seal the win. I mean, that, you know, again, he made plays down the stretch. What I'm asking for in this game, I have big plays and big moments. Where is Lamar Jackson's big plays and big moments? Let's talk about the 3rd and 15 play late in this game. Because Ravens fans will tell you, no, you can't talk about this play because Skur screwed it up because of the snap, right? Yes, I will agree that Skur screwed up that drive with the snap, but I have an MVP caliber quarterback. I need a big play in a big moment. And what does Lamar Jackson do on 3rd and 15? He throws it right to a defender. How are we saying that this is a good game from him? On the biggest play of the game, 4 minutes to go.
That was the other
bad pass. He throws it right to a defender. We're on here going, well, it's not, we can't put this one on Lamar. I mean, it's not all on Lamar, but yeah, there's some of this on Lamar.
Can I add something? One. You know, it is kind of like weird to hear when it comes to why Lamar didn't have a bad game or why this game wasn't as bad for Lamar when you're like, okay, weather's one thing. I always think weather's a good enough, sometimes the weather can be bad enough. But when we're talking about the snaps throwing off everything that he can do because the snaps are bad, that's a little like, come on now. And it's like, I want it to be consistent for Raven fans. This is better for y'all in the long run. Are we grading Lamar as a top 5, quarterback, or are we grading Lamar like a system quarterback? Because if we're grading Lamar as a system quarterback, then yeah. But then you have to be okay with people saying that Lamar Jackson is a system quarterback. But if we're gonna consider him, because this is also where Raven fans want him considered in the top 5 of the league. Every time I hear Lamar, everybody's like, hey, he might be the best quarterback in the NFL. This is where he gets graded. And he has not played a single game on that level. By the way, I'm going to take a little bit of a victory lap here. Last year, I said Kyler Murray could be better than Lamar Jackson eventually, and that got laughed off the show. Is that a joke now?
No.
Is that funny now?
That's turning into reality.
Let me say a couple things.
I want to know, because right now, Kyler Murray looks like a better runner than Lamar Jackson. That's what everybody told me. He could not do better than Lamar Jackson, and we already know he's a better passer. So,
Go ahead, Ace, because you have to talk.
You know what the difference is? DeAndre Hopkins, because he finally has a receiver. One thing that we have to acknowledge, though, is the Ravens don't have good receivers. Let's just be real. If this was happening with, Lamar Jackson with, the Steelers wide receiver core or Bengals wide receiving core or something like that, then I could see it. But even your Browns know Quincy right now. With only having Jarvis Landry, you can't really do anything because you don't have receivers. So for me, I'm not going to say that it's not completely on Lamar, but the fact that Willie Snead has to be your number one receiver, I just can't get behind that.
Yeah, that's not on the Costa. I agree with you, Kareem.
It's on the Costa. It's
weird because we just watched him with the same wide receiving core a year ago put up MVP numbers, and then this year, basically nothing changes.
But we still knew those guys weren't good. We all knew that they weren't good. Come on. We didn't think – we still were in this offseason saying they need to get these wide receivers.
Here's why I'm on
his help didn't get worse. It's not like Lamar Jackson's help got worse. Something else got worse.
No. Go ahead.
He has less tight ends, though. That is a real thing for Lamar Jackson.
The O-line is horrible.
The O-line is worse. But here's why I'm not going to give Raven fans a break when it comes to that wide receiver room, is because they did not shut up all offseason about how that wide receiver room was going to be great. They did not give it a break. I tried to tell them, hey, this ain't good. And every show, every comment section, Quincy just hating you. And then they'll bring it back to Baker Mayfield as if that affects what I think about the damn Ravens wide receiving room. Look, this was bad. Everybody told you it was bad. Y'all didn't want to listen. And now y'all got to watch Tyreek Hill, Boo Boo Brown, whatever you want to call him, because he ain't Hollywood Brown. He don't deserve a nickname, because the only Hollywood that's getting yards this season is Hollywood Higgins, who almost was out the league this season. And he's still better than this dude. And honestly, I gotta ask this question at this point: how is Hollywood Brown any different than John Ross? How is he any different? John Ross put up the same underwhelming numbers. That's what makes it worse. John Ross was more productive, at least when he was on the field. Like,
he had 7 touchdowns one year. All I'm gonna say.
That's all I'm saying. And we act like John Ross is dirt, but like, how is Hollywood Brown any different in that respect? How is he any different? And I just want to know. Everybody laughing in the chat right now. I know some of y'all weren't laughing at that at the beginning of the season. Some of y'all did not want to hear that. But, you know, I'm going to let that one be.
Let me defend something here about a point that you brought, Quincy, the snaps. Why I think the snap is so bad. Again, I'm not talking about the ricochet snaps. Those are obviously bad, and those are the ones that people key in.
Yeah, you're talking about the snaps that even he catches. I get what you're saying, where it's like, it's a little high, it's a little low, he has to adjust it, and that affects his ability to do the read. My point is, if your system and your quarterback is completely reliant on getting, like, really great snaps, and if you get a bad snap, that kind of fumbles up the whole thing. That's a terrible offense.
I'm gonna tell you why that's a bad part. The thing is, even last year we go heavy. You put only 2 routes out there, right? Because when you're gonna do the read option, it's not only a read pass. It's either the running back takes it, Lamar can keep it and run, or you can pass it. Yeah. As soon as the bad snap, and the problem is that there is one bad snap. It's consistently throughout the game. He's snapping the ball all over the place. So now Lamar, usually your QB, as soon as the ball snaps, he's not really paying attention, because that's that just comes naturally. The snaps comes here, and I grab it and do my thing. Now he's paying attention to the snap. By the time that he's getting it clean, that running back is there. I cannot read my DN. So that part of the play is busted, right?
I get that. But my thing is, your offense, your quarterback, your superstar quarterback, all of that has to be more robust. Than depending
I understand,
on
but you're asking
bad.
Me but how I'm, they I'm just, went so I, bad from last year. I said, one tight end. I agree with you. One
who
tight
was snapping the ball last year?
He left amid the year. He tore his all SCLs that knee had.
But he was there for Lamar's rookie year, and then like halfway through his
he had like,
Lamar Jackson's MVP-ness is not
it cannot be dependent on the snap.
It's not dependent on the snap. No,
my point I refuse to believe that. Like that's my point to you
is a bevy of things. The snaps are being bad, and that's just starting. Crazy, right? It didn't start like that.
Bad offensive line, right? The bad wide receivers, all of that is just compounding on itself.
And defenses know how to defend him better, too. That is 100% happening.
Plus, he hasn't played great either, right? I'm not here to say it's everybody minus Lamar. Lamar has had bad games. Lamar has played bad throughout the year. In my opinion, this was a good game, not a great game. If you put
it from last year,
yes, the defense gave up a bunch of rushing yards in the first half, and even the second half, the first drive, they gushed him for a touchdown. And then Lamar did what he could, in my opinion. Again, conditions-wise, look, I'm not trying to compare, for example, with Baker. Baker, in my opinion, had a good game. Lamar and Baker, if you go game, Lamar had a more statistically better game, and both of them in bad conditions. I can't even say Baker had a good game. I thought Lamar had a good game. Both I'm not saying that neither of them, I would have said they had a great game. They so both had a good game. Lamar did what he did. I think if the defense clamps down and contains some of that running game, I think the Ravens win.
But they did clamp down in the second half.
Yes, in the second half.
And then where was Lamar? That's where Lamar didn't play well enough. Those are the moments you need your number one guy, your best player on your team, come up big in big moments. What did he do? All second half. Small. And again, he's got to get criticism for that.
I think he played good. I came and said he should have two picks, to be honest. He should have two picks, and he should have another touchdown that he didn't throw because the ball slipped. He threw it to the defender. I think it was the safety in the one play. The safety didn't catch the ball. That should have been a pick. And at the end of the first half, he threw one of the worst decisions he could have made. Yeah, he threw it to Hollywood Brown on a 50-50 ball. Which was 50-50. It was horrible. Anyway, shout out to the trip here with the donation. Oh, Hollywood grade 3. Lamar carries. Baker rarely gets the
Hollywood's Baker, a grade 3?
Ooh. Hollywood's a grade 3. Lamar carries. Baker rarely gets the opportunity to prove he can. And I'm real late. Put this into help.
We'll start from the top. Let's run the intro. We'll start it back up.
Yeah, all this slander about Baker Mayfield I see in the chat. And look, some of that's warranted because Baker Mayfield has not had a stellar career so far and not had a stellar season this year. He's had an all right season. But all I'm going to say is tell me one time in the season where Lamar looked like how Baker did against the Bengals that second game in Cincinnati. That's what I'm saying. Like, all this talk about Baker Mayfield from Ravens fans. It's not that different.
Lamar hasn't had any games that you can consider MVP caliber games this year. He has none.
We gotta let Ace go. We got completely.
Let's wrap it up here. Guys, thank you for joining the SC Nerd Talk. If you love this content, you love the discussion, you have to keep coming.
Ace hasn't said his thing on the game yet. Ace hasn't even talked about the game yet. That's my fault. This is all me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Good. So for me, I felt like this was kind of a case of identity theft. With the Patriots kind of playing like the Ravens last season, right? They committed to going out and getting Cam Newton. I think that they really learned that from the debacle that they had against them the previous season. But that is essentially what they kind of did in this game. Obviously, Rex Burkhead kind of got used in the passing game there. They had a couple of touchdowns there. Cam Newton was Cam Newton. But this was a tough loss for the Ravens. And I think that we've always talked about the issues for the Ravens have honestly remained the same. It's been that they don't have enough weapons at wide receiver. The pass rush hasn't been able to generate enough pressure. And now they're also getting the injury bug. And we've been talking about Lamar Jackson, it seems like, the whole season. He has not been the same Lamar Jackson. It doesn't mean that he's complete trash. It's not like he's out there like Alex Smith. But he's not helping raise the level of this team for them to win. He's not playing bad, but he's just not playing at that Hall of Fame level. He's not putting the team on his back like he was last season. And as you know, Sonny, like, and I've been following Lamar for a long time, whenever that happens, whenever the chinks in the armor show, people are going to jump on him. And that's just going to come with the territory of Lamar Jackson. If he's ever going to have a game that's not great, people are going to talk about it. So I think that it's really on this front office in this offseason, depending on how this season goes. I don't think that you're going to have a bad season, but they have to put some kind of receivers there. Then we can definitively say, okay, if he has, let's just say this isn't going to happen, but let's just say he gets DeAndre Hopkins, right? We'll be able to say then, okay, he's just not good. It's just Lamar is the issue and we need to move on. But I think that this also helps you guys out in terms of an extension. He's having not that great of a year, so you can't turn around and give him Pat Mahomes money after this season. But we'll see what happens. But I think, like Quincy said, a lot of the takes that we said were true. I remember in the offseason, a lot of people were killing us for saying that the Ravens would just lose 4 or 5 games, and we got absolutely murdered for that. And we also talked about the wide receivers as well. But they've got to bounce back. I don't think that they're going to miss the playoffs. I would say that they are a playoff team, but they just got to get healthy in a hurry, and they have to do what they need to do to win games. Stop passing the ball so much. Run the ball. Do what the Browns did. The Browns just ran the ball the entire game.
They obviously not weather capable of it, baby. They can't do it like us.
And the crazy thing is, and I said this earlier in the season, Lamar hides the fact that the run game that they have is not that good. Like, it's kind of an optical illusion because you get his rushing yards in there. But when you look at the guys after him, I do like Gus Edwards. Mark Ingram, I don't know. Mark Ingram always has a breakout season, and then he goes to sleep the next season. And it seems like he's doing that with you guys. Obviously, he was hurt for a little bit. And Dobbins, I thought that was a home run pick for you guys. He has not really lived up to the expectations there. So I think what it is even though they have this great running offense, I said it last week, do they have a top 10 NFL running back? No, they don't. Like, Gus Edwards is not like, nobody's going to say Gus Edwards isn't possibly even the top 20 running backs, possibly. So I think that they got to get those weapons right. But right now, it's just going to be shown that it's all on the Ravens right now and that front office for not making that move. Eric DaCosta said, we're not done yet. Where was that other move? We never saw it. And so I don't know if they ran out of money. I don't know what it was. But they got to do something to get some weapons around this guy, or else the criticism is just going to be as loud, because there were guys waiting for this to happen. They were waiting for it to happen. They were just in the cut last year. They were like, oh, okay, all right, cool. Yeah, yeah. And then as soon as it happened, they were going to pounce on them. So it's just something that the Ravens are going to have to get used to. But you guys have to do something to put this fire out and get some more wins. If you can get to, let's just say, 10-6, 11-5 would be great. But if you guys can get to at least 10-6, make the playoffs, go into the offseason with a plan.
I don't think 10-6 makes the playoffs. I don't think 10-6.
Well, with tiebreakers, potentially.
Yeah,
10-6, 11-5. I don't 11-5. I know that you're not going 12-4, but if you can try to get in there and do that, that's the other thing that's going to make this even worse is if you guys get to the playoffs and then it's another first round exit. It's going to be tough.
Okay, y'all better hope
the Steelers get that bye week, because if y'all have to play them that first week in the playoffs, it's going to be a wrap.
Says Ravens wouldn't be in the playoff race if Baker was there instead of Lamar. I like Baker, but Baker in the teens and Lamar in the top 10.
All right, in the top 10, stop complimenting his 200-yard games.
Okay.
Lamar is – I mean, that offense is built around Lamar, right? To say, oh, you take Lamar out and put Baker Mayfield in, of course it would be the same.
Okay. Tyrone Brown says Lamar is who we thought he is. Wait, no,
we didn't read the trip.
There's another one.
Yeah, Lamar hides my bad. Lamar has a lot of Lamar hides a lot of deficiencies that this team has. He puts fear into defense. Not perfect, but he's handling it well. Want to see a true one with him?
See, okay, that was true. There was a point that was true where he put fear into defenses. I think the fear he puts into defense is not scaring. There's no fear anymore now. And I think that's a big part of this. Teams don't fear Lamar Jackson anymore.
Yeah, I was about to say it too. Also, like, I love how this team got like 14-2 at like low end predictions coming into the season. Yeah, now we're like, yeah, Lamar's holding up all the deficiencies. NFL is now weird, like, bro.
We're lucky. Hey, he's
holding it together, baby.
I will say, with the injuries we have right now, I think if we had a non-mobile quarterback behind that line, that quarterback would get murdered.
Yeah,
because again, the line is horrible right now. I'm just saying, the team without a mobile quarterback.
Completely done. I mean, just, you know, you're not doing anything with that team.
Okay, so Lamar. Okay, so Tyrone Brown, shout out to you. Thank you for the donation. Lamar is who we thought he is. Let's go, Brown. And Baker, we trust.
Oh, that's going to get the comment section going.
Okay, well, guys, I will say I apologize to Ace. My bad, Ace. No, we got derailed, and I apologize, Ace.
I should have gone last on my Ravens thing. I apologize.
And I thought what you guys were saying was like Ace has to go. And I was like, oh my God, yes, we ran over an hour. So I apologize. My bad. But guys, if you like this content, you see on sketch, this is raw. This is just pure emotion analysis, AFC North. If you love AFC North talk content, subscribe if you haven't. Like the video, put that bell. Ace, where they can find you, my brother?
They can find me contacting Spectrum to figure out what is going on with my internet. But you can find me at New Stripe City on Twitter. You can also find me, of course, here on the AFC North Talk. And I'm just going to say, subscribe to the channel before my internet connection messes up. Appreciate it.
Actually, my brother works for Spectrum. So if he's in the chat right now, figure it out. Figure it out.
Yeah. All right. So first of all, you can find me welcoming Raven fans back to reality. I know it's been a long trip, about a year and a half since you guys have touched reality. Welcome back to it. You guys were really out there, really wild, saying some outlandish stuff all over the place. But now y'all back to reality. Y'all not going to tweet about Marquise Brown no more, or like put out his little photos and tell me that he's going to be the best receiver in the league. Y'all were out there, bro. Y'all were out there. Steeler fans out there. Steeler fans at their peak weren't as high, are at their peak right now, weren't as high as how Raven fans were in the offseason. Y'all were all one all offseason, baby. So welcome back to reality. And I want y'all to know, I know y'all love how this sounds. Y'all down here with us. Y'all down here with the Browns, baby. Y'all fighting for the same spot. And if y'all lose on Monday night, y'all might not make the playoffs because the Browns won a tiebreaker. And that can't sit well at all, right? All right, but yeah, you can find me on youtube.com/QuincyCarrier, twitch.tv/QuincyCarrier, also at Twitter, at Quincy. Find me all those places. Check me out there.
Tony.
You can find me running my Victory 5K. the Victory laps will not stop this year. This team is, by the way, I don't know if you know this, Ravens fans, but if you lose the next two games, the Ravens lose the next two games, and the Steelers win the next two games, the Ravens are mathematically eliminated from AFC North contention. Ooh, that does not feel good in week 11 to be eliminated. I don't imagine on any Ravens fans bingo cards that they had, being mathematically eliminated in week 11 on that. But that is where we are here in 2020. You can also find me simultaneously pissing off Steeler fans and Ravens fans in chat. So that's what I like to do here. You follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You find me on AFC North Talk. I am on Tuesdays with my friend Christopher Carter. And of course, you can find me here, AFC North Talk, every Tuesday and Thursday, 5:45 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you are subscribed.
And you can find me, SCG Sports, and all platforms. Also on Flick during the games. Try to be active during the games. So go check us out. Go subscribe to there too. Thank you for joining. Don't forget, before you leave, as you're leaving, just hit that like. Thank you for joining us. Peace out.
Are you listening?